Okay, welcome back everybody to our Learning Ashari. Thank you to those who made the effort to come on this Yeshiva week, as it's been coined, Yeshiva week of classes. So we all appreciate your participation and attendance always, but especially this week. We are learning Le'iloi Nishmas Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom. May her neshama have an aliyah and the schus of our learning. Today was also Chav Zayin Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday. Chav Zayin Tevis was my husband's grandmother's 15th yahrzeit, Chana Malka Bas Naftali, as well as my father-in-law remembers her father and sister, Hashem Yukom Dama, who were murdered in the Holocaust, so their date of death is not known, but on his mother's yahrzeit, he remembers them as well, and their neshama should have aliyos, not the kadoshim, they don't need aliyos, but they should be advocates to Tova for the whole family. So we are on page 44. Okay, please Hashem, we're finishing the chapter today. Mm-hmm. Now, if anybody wants to fill in these seats, you don't have to sit far. Could you hear me? Okay, fine. Okay, so we're on page 44. We're at the bottom, and I really plan to. We have thoughts. God has thoughts that control all. But let's see. Oh, I wanted to bring in the Kli Yakar on Bereishis 22:12 because he addresses Bechira versus Yediyah. Remember, we spoke about a long time ago. If we could find the Kli Yakar to Bereishis, if there's a Mikros Kadosh, he addresses Bechira versus Yediyah, which we spoke about a year and a half ago. But the Lashon's very strong, and he says, well, the conclusion that we came to, Hashem knows everything, you have Bechira, don't try and go there. Which is really, Lemaisa, how we concluded our conversation. If Esther finds the Mikros Kadosh, I'll read you his Lashon. If not, it's okay. Esther, don't worry. Come sit down. Okay, words that emanate from the heart. Esther, come. No, come. Words that emanate from the heart. There is a problem. For a person to speak gently, he must have already exposed his soul, which will then be the source of gentle talk. Of course, we're talking so much about Kolach HaDibur here and how we speak and to whom we speak and what speech says about ourselves. It is no accident that when we first meet Moshe Rabbeinu in last week's parasha, he says, Ki lo ish devar manochi. Listen, God, I'm not a man of words, not from yesterday, not from the day before. Kvad peh, kvad lashon. I have this speech impediment, and we know the famous Medrash that says when he was a child, he reached for Paro's crown, and the advisor says, oh wow, he wants your crown, he wants to be ruler, he's going to destroy you. Pharaoh says he's going to destroy him, which of course ultimately he did. Let's bring two plates, coals and jewels. Let's see what he reaches for. Moshe reaches for the jewels, the Malach switched his hand, he reached for the coals, it's so hot, he puts his finger in his mouth, he becomes Kvad Peh Kvad Lashon. This week's Parsha Vani Aral Sufasayim, I'm of blocked lips. It's fascinating that Moshe's journey to speech does not fully emerge until he gets the Torah. And then his face is beaming. So, and then we never hear about his speech impediment again. So it's the Torah that reveals the neshama within, and that neshama is expressed through speech. And that soul will be the source of gentle talk. Speech that emanates, I was reading the Rav Moshe Twersky biography, two Bachrum were having a machloka, so to speak, over the seat in the Beis Medrash. Two of the students in the yeshiva couldn't decide who should sit in that seat in the study hall. So each one wanted the seat. So Rav Moshe Twersky, their rabbi, came in. So they said, Rabbi, they were having an issue over the seat. So he said, I just saw something about this in a sefer. So they thought, oh, Rabbi's going to bring them a sefer about how to decide whose seat is it. So he went over to the bookcase and he brought them a sefer on Musar and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. So at first they didn't get it. They looked at each other. And then he went to the other side of Beis Medrash and he looked up at them and he smiled. And the message was, there has to be soft speech, gentle speech. There has to be emanation of the neshama. If they be mevat to the seat and know how to talk to another human being. We quoted him last week and he said, from Milchamta Shal Torah, it's no excuse for bad midos. So when you're battling for Torah, you have to know how to talk. Speech that emanates from the intellect but is merely wrapped in gentle speech does not have the ability to awaken the soul. This is very powerful. You could be trying to fool someone. It looks like you're talking nicely, but it's really an emanation of the intellect and not the soul. And perhaps Yosef HaTzadik was so successful because he exposed his own soul. Even though he spoke harshly on the exterior, we said, it's really coming from a deep place of inner Kedusha, because Yosef exposed his own soul and knew who he was, his speech was so successful in his brothers. You understand? A person could speak softly but mean harsh things. because it's speech of the body. Or a person can speak harshly, like Yosef, he spoke kashos, he spoke harshly to them, but he means soft words. It all depends where the speech is emanating from. Is it coming from your soul? With Yosef, it clearly was. Or is it coming from your guf? He was comfortable with who he was, and therefore he was able to transmit the appropriate message to his brothers. So Rav Soloveitchik says something very interesting about Yosef, talking about the fact that he revealed his own soul. And I thought that this was fascinating. Rashi tells us the evil eye, the eye in Hara, will not affect Yosef's offspring. It's in Birkas Yaakov and Perak Mem Tes, chapter 49 of Bereishis. Rashi says, when Yaakov gives Yosef a bracha, Rashi says the eye in Hara will not affect Yosef's offspring. So it's interesting. What does that mean? So listen to what Rav Soloveitchik says. It's very powerful. Quote, many people live their lives based on what others think of them. They rejoice when they hear how others appreciate them, how their accomplishments and their ideas are praised. But when they're criticized or ridiculed, they completely lose self-confidence. That, says Rav Soloveitchik, is the receiving of an ayin hara. It's a beautiful interpretation. What does it mean you receive an evil eye? You almost bring it upon yourself. When people like you and they're masking with what you do and they think you did the right thing, so you feel comfortable with who you are. So your neshama is in its prime. And your personality is in its prime. But then when you're ridiculed and they mock you, you want to conform to their standards. You don't feel so good about yourself anymore. It all depends on what other people think. That's the Rav Soloveitchik, this ayin hara. Those who live, listen to what he says, those who live with such insecurity quickly reach a state of depression. Their psyche's damaged. Their efforts will inevitably lead to failure. It's very powerful. A person has to reveal his own soul in order to be successful with others. Yosef was able to do this. And what others thought of him, it didn't matter. Listen to the next thing he says. Had Yosef been overly concerned with his brother's opinion, he would not be the dreamer that he was. It's because he didn't listen to his brothers that he was able to become who he was. Although his brothers ridiculed him, Yosef did not lose his self-confidence. They said, oh, you're the dreamer? He never gave up. And therefore, the brothers' ayin hara did not affect him. He was able to reveal his neshama within. And therefore, even though he spoke dibir ha'ish aretz itanu kashos, the rule that they said to Yaakov spoke harshly, but it's coming from the neshama of Yosef HaTzadik. So there are two kinds of speech. Soft speech that comes from the guf is really harsh, and harsh speech that comes from the neshama is really soft. It's very relevant when you think about chinuch habanim, or speaking to children or grandchildren, because there are times when it needs to be a reprimand. So you have to really look at where's the source of the speech. Think of a parent who lashes out at a child in anger, and a parent who loves the child and therefore rebukes them, and think how different it's going to be, even if they need to speak harshly to the child. It's extremely profound. So it's not that harsh speech is always negative. Yosef spoke harsh, but it was positive. We have to access and identify the source of our speech. Top of page 45. To awaken the soul, one must use words whose source is gentle. See? Look at what that says. The words, the source has to be gentle. He doesn't say the words have to be gentle. And such words can only come from the soul itself. There are absolutely times when it's necessary to be harsh, but identify where you're really speaking from. Any questions or comments yet? Okay. Chazal say, famous Mamar Chazal, Dvarim hayotzim min halev nechnasim al halev. Words that emanate from the heart enter the heart. Why? By the way, that is based on Maseches Brachos 6b. Why? Okay, so how I speak to someone, that's how someone perceives my speech. If they emanate from the intellect, they emanate from the body, they're harsh. The soul can only be touched with words that emanate from the heart. Everyone's with me? So by the way, he's adding a new dimension. Now he says the soul is touched with words that emanate from the heart. Not only do they have to emanate from the soul, but they have to emanate from your heart. So now we're going from Yosef to Moshe Rabbeinu. When Hashem appears to Moshe in last week's parsha at the Sneh, okay? Does anyone remember the Lashon by any chance? Vayar Malach Hashem Elav, and an angel of Hashem appeared to Moshe? Oh, I didn't hear.
Min ha'svach.
That's by the Akedah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to the. You're right. but I'm going to the snare. I'll tell you what it's...
Ayeka?
That's by Adam.
Yeah.
We're moving to Shemos. Vayar malach Hashem ela bilabas eish, and Hashem appeared to him bilabat or bilabas eish. What is the root word of bilabat eish or bilabas eish? Beis, lamed, beis, tough. Leif. And Rashi says there, beautiful, bilabat eish or bilabas eish, b'shal haves shal eish, a flame of fire, davar acher libo shal eish, a heart of fire. Unbelievable, something that we're coming up to now. When Hashem appeared to Moshe from the snare, it was leiv eish. Okay, so we understand typically that means that the bush is burning and the interior, the heart, the middle, so to speak, is fire. Okay. Rashi gives some other examples of when you see belev ha'ela, the heart of the tree. So Rashi says it could mean the heart is used metaphorically with reference to inanimate objects, right? You have the bush burning, the middle's burning, so it's like the heart of the bush is burning. But we can understand some very deep lessons from here if we're learning that speech emanates from the heart. And Kosh Baruch Hu Dafka chose to say it was bilabat eish, from a heart of fire. That's an unbelievable thing to say. So what can we learn from here? First of all, Hashem, so to speak, is the heart of Klal Yisrael. The heart beats, the heart pumps blood, the heart, what else happens in there? The oxygen, the CO2, the O2. A person can't live without that moving and beating and pumping, just like we can't live without the lave of a Kosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. Second of all, the interior, the heart is burning. And Kaiser, what does that teach you? That even though why a thorn bush, it's prickly, it's not in good shape, it's not a pleasant, it doesn't look like a good bush, it's not pretty. You wouldn't look at it and say, wow, Marbuma Sach Hashem, you'd say, wow, that thing needs to grow some leaves, it's a thorny, it's dangerous. But inside, the heart of Kaiser is always beating, but it's because we're connected to Kaviyachal, so to speak, to Hashem's heart. So our heart beats. Keeping in mind, the last word of the Torah is Lamed, and the first word of the Torah is Beis. And the scroll, I saw this recently, when you roll it up, it's not flat, it's not a book. When you roll the scroll, the Lamed and the Beis come together. Everything that we need to know is enclosed within the heart of Torah. The last phrase is Le'enei Kol Yisrael. This is the Luchos Moshe Brab before the eyes of all Israel. The beginning is Bereishis Bara Elokim. And how do we close the Sefer Torah? You roll it up. Our lave, our heart, is encapsulated in that Torah. So Hashem is the heart of Kol Yisrael. The heart of Klal Yisrael is always burning, even though the exterior is rough. Yeah, you want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to add on that. Expand on it that if your lave is if you don't have Torah, your lave will be closed. But through Torah, you can open your heart to connect to Hashem.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. We don't keep the Torah closed. We open it up. The heart expands. And expands and expands to fit every Jew in, to fit all Torah insights in, to fit all of us of the Shem. That's very nice. Beautiful. The Sefer Torah in its closed position is rolled up. But when we're using the Sefer Torah, we open it. And that indicates that the Jew has to open their heart to be an Ohev Hashem, Ohev Yisrael. Very nice, Shani. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's why maybe, very nice, that's why, you know, Hashem could do whatever he wants, obviously. The last word of Torah could have been leif. You realize that, right? The last word of Torah could have been whatever Hashem chose it to be. The last word is Yisrael. Yesh shishim rubi osos. Yesh shishim rubi alaf l'Yisrael. Yesh shishim rubi alaf l'Yisrael. There's 600,000 to Israel. But also, Hashem could have finished it with Lev somehow. He finishes it with Yisrael. That's the final summation of Torah. Le'enei kol Yisrael. Kol Yisrael gets Torah. But why didn't he finish it with Lev? He left them apart on purpose to teach us that even when it looks like it's closed, open it up and you can fit everything in there. Very nice. Beautiful. Very nice. Furthermore, even though sometimes Klal Yisrael looks like they're being consumed physically, the parashios of Shmos ve'erabo describe the Shibin Mitzrayim, we are never consumed. Vasna einenu ukal. We will never be eaten up or devoured. But what's fascinating is that Hashem chose this manifestation to appear to Moshe. Lev eish, a heart of fire. Fire is also warm. It represents the warmth of the Jew. There's so much going on in this belabat eish. Hashem chose to appear in a heart of fire. And what did he do? He spoke to Moshe. He touched Moshe's soul with words that emanate from his heart. That sentence, don't underline it, but I underlined it in my own book. The soul can only be touched with words that emanate from the heart. That could be discussing the relationship of Moshe Rabbeinu vis-a-vis Kosh Baruch Hu at the snare. You know, Moshe was 80 years old when this happened. The Ramban, it's fascinating. The Ramban tells us, it's unbelievable Ramban. I should have just brought the Mikros Kudos. The Ramban tells he went from Medina to Medina. He went from country to country, ear to ear, city to city. He went from nation to nation. The Ramban says Moshe was a fugitive on the land. Those are not his words. For 60 years. He's running away for a very long time. Ramban says he's away for 60 years from Mitzrayim. He comes back when he's 80. By the way, this answers the question, how could he have a newborn on his way back to Egypt if he's 80 years old? When did he marry Tzipporah? At the end of the running away, he finally gets to Midian and he marries his wife. But how did Hashem awaken his soul? Moshe, I don't have anything to do with the Jews. I'm here, I'm living, I'm not going back. Then Hashem appeared as a lev. Lev Eish, a heart of warmth, calling out to Moshe through speech. If a person's soul is concealed and we want to expose it, we must speak gentle words. This would be an appropriate time to recall what my son's Rebbe tells the boys, Rabbi Kleiman, fifth grade Rebbe Shiva Darchei Torah. When the boys are misbehaving, how does he rebuke them? He says, I don't expect you to be perfect, but please stop. Unbelievable. And my son, they love this Rebbe. Why? Because he's talking from his soul and he's talking from his heart. So he's touching their soul and their heart. When the soul hears these gentle words, contrast that to another child, different class, another child came home the other day and said the teacher became so red and he lost it and screaming, etc. When the soul hears these gentle words, it understands the language and it awakens, it wakes up. The question is, how do we find the source of this gentle speech? With Hashem's help, we will expand on this later. But the first suggestion is when listening to someone who truly speaks from his soul. For example, a wise elder or teacher, listen to the soul in his words. You know what's so interesting about that? If Hashem woke up Moshe's soul by speaking from the lave of the Ish, so to speak, the lave of Hashem, he woke up Moshe's soul. So Moshe was woken up, and he became the wise elder or teacher who in turn passed that on to Knesset Yisrael. What was Moshe's whole tafkid? To wake us up. To keep us going. What did we have to do? We had to listen to someone who speaks from the soul. So Hashem, that is truly, Dvarim hayotzi min halev nichnasim al halev, came out of Hashem's heart, so to speak, into Moshe Rabbeinu to make him the person who he was, and he was able to give that back to Klal Yisrael. For example, wise elder, teacher, that's Moshe. What do we call him? We don't call him their rabbi, Rabbeinu. He's our rabbi today. He's still speaking to us. Every year when we get to end of Dvarim, I'm so sad when we have to leave him. Listen to the soul in his words. Do not focus exclusively on the intellect, relating solely to the external aspect of what is being said. Listen to the inner gentleness underlying the words. You know how true this is? If Hashem wanted a speaker who was a powerful orator, then he wouldn't have chosen Moshe. If he wanted someone who could speak beautifully on the outside, he wouldn't have chosen him. You want to say something? Oh, then he wouldn't have chosen Moshe. He would have chosen somebody who has good external speech. Moshe didn't have such fantastic external speech, but he had beautiful internal speech, and he had speech of the soul. Each person must find a way to speak gentle words on his own. These will come from his soul and awaken and reveal it in the spirit of... Oh, okay, ready? Pirkei Avos. The Mechaber says, it has to come from your soul. Is everyone with me? I'm on the second to last paragraph on page 45. Each person must find a way to speak gentle words on his own. It's a big task. It's a big tafkir. There are many times in life, I don't know, maybe not you, when it's hard to have gentle speech. It's not always so easy. It sounds very nice on paper. It's not always so easy. You have to find your own way to access the words of your soul. When it comes from the soul, it will awaken and reveal in the spirit of, quoting from Pirkei Avos, the first tongues were made with tongues. Does anyone know what that's referring to?
You say again, the first what?
Look in the book. The first tongues. Oh, you don't have a sefer? I'm sorry. Does everyone have a sefer? Okay. The first tongues, T-O-N-G-S, like when you're barbecuing. Tongues. We're made with tongues.
Hashem made the first pair of tongues, because you can't make tongues without them. You can't use the fire you burn your...
Very nice. So
maybe that certain things you can't... Hashem had to create them in order for us to have those tools?
Okay, so the Mishnah says, Ketzim Pirkei Avos, Perkei Mishnah Vav, Chapter 5, Mishnah 6, 10 things were created on Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, at twilight. 10 things in the period when we moved from nature, 6 days of creation, to Lamala Min HaTeva, 7, Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos. In that period, 10 things were created. The Eluhein, because these are 10 things that are used within the realm of nature, but are really Lamala Min HaTeva. Pi HaAretz, the mouth of the ground, the mouth of the ground open up to swallow.
Korach.
Yeah, Korach. I'm thinking of something so interesting. Korach used abusive speech. Very abusive speech. It was speech. Korach was the first cousin of Moshe, who rebelled against the authority of Moses and Aaron. And he says, who made you king? Who made you high priest? I'm the first cousin. I'm second in line. And I want to get Gedula also. So he had a rebellion against Moshe. And Moshe tried to make peace with him, and it did not work. They came out standing. They were him and his men. But what was he swallowed by? Pi Haaretz, the mouth. He used his speech as a reflection of his body. There was no neshama in that speech. And what swallowed him up? It doesn't say a hole in the ground. The mouth of the ground. It's really beautiful, midah keneged midah. You abused your mouth, you will be swallowed by the mouth. Shani, did you want to say something? You look like you want to say something.
I don't remember anymore.
You don't remember?
Something along
those lines. Okay, fine. Okay, so pi haaretz, swallowed up Korach. Pi ha-be'er, the mouth of the well, the be'er of Miriam.
Another mouth.
Right, so that's what I'm thinking about. First of all, water is life. It gave water. It's pee. The mouth can give life, but water can give life. But listen to this. Unbelievable. I just answered this now, and I even was preparing. The Bartanura, who's the classic commentator on the Mishnah, Middle Ages battalion, says, okay, we're talking about the Be'er of Miriam, but it doesn't say Be'er of Miriam. It says pee of Be'er. Again, the mouth of the well opened. V'yesh Omrim, says the Bartanura. Okay, first the Bartanura says it's the well of Miriam that went with them in the desert on all their journeys. Yesh Omrim, this is unbelievable, based on our learning tonight. Shepascha piha, for Amra Shira. She opened her mouth and said Shira. It's talking about the Be'er. So again, this manifestation of opening your mouth to sing to Hashem, opening your mouth to talk to another person. Let it be a manifestation of the life-giving waters within. Wow, the well contains water. Open your mouth and give others water. Give others chios. Okay? Pi ha'ason, the mouth of the donkey. It's unbelievable. This is all related to? I have to tell you something. Are you with me? I didn't realize this when I was preparing. Mamish, you never know when you're going to have a okay, every moment. Here we go. What 10 things? Let's see if it works for all of them. I don't know. I'm not up to yet. I don't know if it's going to work for all of them. I don't think so. Pi ha'aretz, what?
I don't think.
Okay, pi ha'aretz, we explained how. Korach was abusive with his speech. The mouth of the earth opened. Midah keneged midah. Pi ha'be'er, the water within is life-giving. It opened its mouth. Make sure you access your life-giving waters of your neshama and your lev and give to somebody else. Furthermore, the Bartanura says, Pascha piha, the amra shira. She opened her mouth and said shira. Pi ha'ason, the mouth of the donkey. Which donkey are we talking about? Bilam, he wasn't such a nice guy. What's he going to do?
Curse
the Jews. The donkey opened his mouth to rebuke Bilam. You're going to rebuke somebody else. You're going to be rebuked. These were all created. Erev Shabbos is a very powerful time. Bein Hashmashos, at twilight. Bein Hashmashos in Eretz Yisrael is one of my favorite times. The sky doesn't look like that anywhere else in the world. Bein Hashmashos in Eretz Yisrael. It's just, there's a power to Bein Hashmashos. Okay, I love this. The next thing is the keshas. This is really cool. The next thing is the keshas. What's a keshas?
The rainbow.
The rainbow. What?
It's a promise.
It's upside down mouth.
Okay.
Upside down mouth.
It's upside down mouth.
Okay, the keshas is the rainbow. When Yaakov Avinu dies on his deathbed, this is really cool. When Yaakov Avinu dies on his deathbed, he says to Yosef, I am giving you Shechem Achad al Achecha, an extra portion of Shechem over your brothers, asher lakachti miyad ha'amori, that I took from the Amorites. What's the next word? V'charbi u'bekashti, with my sword and my bow. Okay? Yaakov Avinu is on his deathbed. He says to Yosef, you're getting an extra portion. Where's Yosef buried, by the way? Shechem. It's not so necessarily safe to go there, but Yosef's bones finally made it to Shechem, and he's buried in Shechem, in the land of Israel. But he says, I took it from the Amorites with my cherev, my sword, and my keshes, and my bow. We don't have any evidence anywhere in the Torah that Yaakov Avinu went to war. What do you mean your sword and your bow? You went to battle? We don't see anywhere in the Torah that Yaakov Avinu went to battle. So what's the answer? Who knows what Targum Unkla says there? With my, and Rashi also says it, I don't have the Bereshit in front of me, but Targum Unkos uses the word tzel, shade. Rashi says, chachmasi usfilasi, my wisdom and my tefillah. And Targum Unkos also says it's tefillah. So now what's keshas? What's keshas? Tefillah. So now we're coming to something different. Ah, charbi and kashti, the root word for keshas, is also Unkos or Rashi tells, he didn't take it from the Amorim with his sword and his bow. How did he take it from the Amorites? With his wisdom and his prayer. What does a bow, a keshes, have to do with tefillah? You still with me? Is everyone following with me? Yeah.
The closer you pull it to your heart, the farther it goes. A bow, the tighter you pull it, the closer you pull it, the farther the trajectory.
Okay.
The closer it is to your...
Okay, so... That what?
It's... I remember learning that it has something to do with tefillah, but I don't remember where.
That what? Is...
That's tefillah.
Right, that's what we're talking about.
Right, but I don't remember where or what and what...
Okay, but that... Well, it's Unkos and Rashi on the Pasuk. Yeah. At the end of Yaakov Avinu's life. At the end of his life, Perek Mem Ches... Because Perek Mem Tes is Birkas Yaakov. I think Perek Mem Ches Bereishis. I don't have a Bereishis in front of me. Yes, I do. You want to know the exact place? Perek Mem Tes, I was wrong. Pasuchof Beis, chapter 49, verse 22. We're giving you an extra portion over your brothers that I took from the hands of the Amori, Becharbi, Bekashti. Targum Unkos says, Bitzilosi uvevausi, with my prayer and my request. And Rashi says there, Chachmasi usfilasi. I don't know where it is. It's here, okay? It's Chachmasi usfilasi. So what does Keshes have to do with prayer? So the Brisker Rav explains, I heard this told over Rav Shai Shachter, the Brisker, but then when my kids also came home with the same director, I said, I just learned that. The Brisker Rav explains as follows. If you give a child a sword, God forbid, anyone in the way is going to get hurt. It really relates to what you said very nicely. Anyone in the way is going to get hurt, because if the child's walking around with a real sword, not a toy, people are going to get hurt. But the keshes depends on how far back you pull it. You have to pull it in order to effect change. So what does keshes have to do with tefillah, and cherev have to do with tefillah? There's two types of tefillah, says Brisker Rav. One is like the sword. It's the words of the sages as they instituted prayer in the prayer book. When you read the words in the Siddur, when you daven the words of Chachamim, it's like a cherev. There's tremendous power because you're tapping into the way Chazal instituted the tefillos. So what's the keshes?
Get to the right address.
What?
To send it to the right address.
But you have to pull back on it.
Back.
The more you put in, the more you get out. What do we call personal tefillah? Not
bakashos.
Bakashos. It's the same word as bow. We call personal tefillah bakashot or bakashos. We call a bow a keshas. It's the same word. What's going on here? The cherev will harm anybody. It's the words of Chazal. It's so powerful, you're going to affect change. But then, you don't even need to put your kishkas into it so much, because the words of Chazal themselves have so much power, the way it's written in the Siddur. But what's a bakasha? It's your personal request. How much do you get out of it? The more you pull back, which is what you said, the farther the bow is going to go. That's bakashos. You with me? Remember, we're still in the Mishnah. So after I heard this, something emerges that's really unbelievable. There's another time we see the root word, keshas, in the Chumash. And when is it? We're talking about in the Mishnah. By the rainbow. Okay, so Lashon HaKodesh is very powerful. because it's not an accident. So if keshes means prayer, and keshes means bow, and keshes means rainbow, as in bow and arrow, then there's a connection between all these things. And the pasuk says by Noach after, when Hashem makes a bris, v'haya ba'anani anan al ha'aretz, it will be when I cloud the earth with the cloud, v'nirasa keshes ba'anan. You will see the keshes in the cloud. So what are we understanding here now? Are you ready? There's no such thing, says Rav Salvechik, as the sun always shines. If a person thinks so, he is mistaken. There are times in life when it's dark. V'haya ba'anani anan al ha'aretz. When it's dark in your life, when it's cloudy in your life, when it's difficult in your life, what should be seen in the clouds? V'nir asa ha'keshas ba'anan. What should be seen in the clouds? I'm not talking about the rainbow, ladies. Your tefillah. In the difficult times, v'nir asa ha'keshas ba'anan. Let your bakasha, let your prayer, let your personal bow be seen in the clouds. What's the way to get through those dark times in life? The cloudy times, the stormy times, the rainy times, the windy times, the difficult times. That's all a metaphor for the speed bumps we encounter in life. V'nir asa ha'keshas ba'anan. Tefillah. But how do we express our tefillos? Avodah shebelev that emanates from the heart. What was created Erev Shabbos Benish Mashos? The keshes. So far, everything fits. Pi ha'aretz. We explained that. The mouth of the ground that swallowed Korach. He rebelled with his mouth and his actions. He was swallowed by the mouth of the ground. What time is it? I have no clue. Okay, thank you. Pi ha'be'er. This was the positive. The mouth of the well opened up. First of all, to sing Shira, but to give life-giving waters. Make sure when you open your mouth, it's with life-giving waters. A big challenge. Piha Asan, the mouth of the donkey. Bilam, the wicked, is going to curse the Jews. He wants to use his mouth to curse. The donkey is going to use its mouth to humiliate you. Hakeshas, does it fit? Yes, because it doesn't only mean rainbow. It means bakashas, it means prayer. When it's dark in your life, so make sure your keshas, your bakashas, is seen in the clouds. Jerain, say something.
And also that Noah didn't use the power of Tila to ask bakashos. Prevent them all from happening.
So you're saying it's Davka, almost a sign to Noach as well? Thank you so much.
Maybe.
Thank you.
Maybe it was also
a lesson, a personal Musar Haskel for Noach, that this was a time of darkness and you should have pulled back on your bow, your bakashas, that would be seen in the clouds. Very nice. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech olam shehakol nehi abidvaro.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay? The Haman. The other thing that was created Erev Shabbos in the time of dusk, in the time of twilight, in the 6 days of creation, was the man. The man was ingested with their mouth. It's something that you ate. This is very interesting. Okay, now we come to
Didn't
a problem.
They also
Vahamata.
Get the man because they complained?
What?
Didn't they also get the man because they complained?
They complained they had no food. Mm.
When the man first comes, they're complaining for man? Yeah, what are we going to eat? They ran out of bread and they start complaining.
But they had that and they couldn't get
it. It's in B'Shalach. One second. It's at the end of B'Shalach after Kriyas Yamsuf.
It was all in Hashem's
plan anyway. It's not a lot, actually. Very nice. The man comes because they're complaining. You have to use your you use your mouth to complain. Use your mouth to ingest the brachas of Hashem.
How many more do we have to go?
It's going very well. What?
How many more?
Okay, how many more? Why, you want to leave?
No, I just
want to
make
We want it to work.
Yes, exactly.
Sometimes, you know, I have a shir on the names of the Nasiim, the names of the tribal princes. That's just so unbelievable, the Hashkacha, the way everything ties in. But as I was going through, I had to get through 12 names of Nasiim. And as I'm going through, I'm like, please let this work. Just let it work. Okay, they travel from Elim, this after Kriyas Yamsuf, after the splitting of the Reed Sea, okay? Perek Tas Zayin of Shemos, we're in chapter 16. And the whole congregation of Israel comes to the wilderness of Sin. Vayalunu, call Adas B'nai Yisrael and Moshe V'Aaron. And they start complaining. And the B'nai Yisrael say, who will give us death? Would that we have died by the hands of God in the land of Egypt. We sat by the flesh pots. We ate meat to satiation. You took us out to a desert. We're going to die in this desert, bira'av, with hunger. Excuse me, they were just saved by Kriyas Yamsuf. They were taken out of Egypt. You were there for 116 years. Pharaoh shafting Jewish babies and bathing in their blood. They didn't have a vino back in those days when you got saras. Oh, I have a solution. Shaft the baby, drain his blood in the tub and take a bath. You're going to be healed. You were just redeemed from that. Egypt is brought to its knees. Worse, there's nothing left. Kriyas Yamsuf. As Yashar Moshe Bnei Yisrael assures us, they believe in God. They see the Nisim. And then they're complaining. So Hashem says, Hashem couldn't provide them with food, they couldn't ask in a nice way, so you have to use your mouth to ingest the blessing of God. You complained. Okay, Vahamata. So I'm thinking that there's a connection. What's the mata? By the way, the staff?
Moshe's
staff, which, by the way, relates to this week's Parshios. Moses, when he's called upon by God, God says, take your staff and go do miracles. But, oh my gosh, it works!
It swallows other sticks.
It works! Shh! Don't leave! Oh my gosh. Oh, my heart's beating. Really. Moshe complains about the Bnei Yisrael. He uses his mouth to speak Lashon Hara. And therefore the staff changes into a snake. Why? Rashi says, Tafas umnaso, bless you. Shal nachash. He grabbed the craft of the snake. What does the matzah change into? Dafka, a snake. Why does the staff change to snake? Because you spoke. You used words, not as a reflection of your soul, because he hasn't yet found a soul, because we're not at Mamad or Sinai. It's a reflection of the guf. Vehein lo yaminu li. Veyomu lo nirecha elach. Lo nira elach Hashem. They're not going to believe that God came to you. Oh, you spoke Lashon Hara, throw down your hand. Maza biyarcha mata, and it turns to a snake. Why? Because it indicates that he spoke Lashon Hara. So, okay, let's keep going. You know what the next one is? The shamir. What's a shamir?
Worm.
What did it do?
It ate.
It caught with its mouth the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. The shamir is a little word. Kaminto la'as, says the Bar Tanura, like a little kind of worm. Briyaso kisa ora. It's like the shape of a barley. They would put it on the stones, and it would engrave the stones. So you could imagine. And with it, the Avnei Eifo, the stones on the apron and the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol were engraved. Pesach. Uvo pischu Avnei Eifo, pitchu, Pesach, opening. The stones were engraved with the shamir. Okay, but now we're going to come to a problem, the haksav. Ksav is the shape of the letters that were engraved on the luchos. You know what I'm talking about? My son's myself here with me. So what do you think?
Why is written word different than spoken word?
What?
Why is written word different than spoken word? Communication.
Very nice. Beautiful. Very nice. Wow.
It's Lahavdil, or Kaviyachol, how Hashem spoke to Bnei Yisrael. He didn't speak to them, but the luchos, which is an expression.
So this is a written representation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu speech. Kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. Everything God spoke, we will do, we will listen. So the ksav is the shape of the letters, but you're both correct. The letters is the written form of expressed speech. The hamichtav and the writing, we were able to read luchos from all four sides. Whether you were looking at the front or the back, the words, like, you know, if you look at something backwards, it's not going to look right. But if you look at something forwards, it will spell, I don't know, anochi. If you look at it from the back, it's not going to spell anochi. But with the luchos, it did. It was the same word back and front. Again, the word is an expression of the speech. Okay, so 1 second, please. 1, 2, 3. I'm sorry if you're not with me. I'm trying. I'm very excited. Okay, those are the 10 things. Now there's other opinions of some things that, why you say, Oy Baruch Hashem, we got through them?
Yeah.
That you can go or that that works?
No, I'm just happy that it's...
Okay.
We
you want to say something?
Yeah, what happened to the
tongues?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened to... We didn't get... But wait, we didn't get an answer.
What did Sarah say? What am I talking about? Oh, beautiful. So I just want to tell you, why did I even start this mission? That is, thank you for the laugh. because I'm still in the book, I'm halfway through the Mishnah. The last thing the Mishnah says is, V'yesh omrim af tzvas b'tzvas asui. The last words of Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Mishnah Vav say, even tongues were made with tongues. But I start at the beginning of the Mishnah. That's how we got to where we're going. Okay, let me just tell you. Then there are those who say, af hamazikin, the harmful forces, and the Bartanura says, what is that? Shadim. It's harmful spirits. The kids were just asking me questions about Shadim the other day. I said, I'm not talking about things. Someone asked me a question today about Mashiach. So I don't talk about things I don't know about. It's some sort of harmful spirits. Bartanura says, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam and Chava, there were certain spirits that were not made with a body. Nisharu ruchos below guf. That works. There were spirits, there was ruach without guf, but the ultimate speech emanates from the ruach, not the guf. So this is a very pure source of ruach. It became dangerous spirits, but it's a spirit without a body. The ultimate speech emanates from the spirit. Ukvu raso shel Moshe, the grave of Moshe. I'm asking you.
Moshe.
What?
The Hashem bury Moshe.
Yeah.
Was that like a pre-made grave that Hashem opened up? That's also like an opening in the ground.
It says, Vayikbar also begai. The Gemara says, so to 14a, we have to emulate God, just like he is Kivur Mesim. We have to be Kivur Mesim. Vayikbar also begai mul beis pa'ar. Okay, we have to think about that one. That has to work, by the way, because it's not a coincidence that everything else fits and that one would not fit. And then the last one, sorry, what about the tongues? I love it. Yesh omim af tzvas b'tzvas esuri. There are those who say tongues were made with tongues. So what does it mean tongues were made with tongues? Which is exactly what Shani said. You have to put the iron, warm it up in the furnace, and it's impossible to get it out until it's very hot. You can't get it with your hand. You need to get it out with tongues. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the first tongues. They were made and prepared from Sheshes Yamei Bereshis. So you could say, who said, someone said, you said at the end, about tongues, Joy said, that they open and close. Tongues are an implement that opens and closes. Very nice.
Also, speech doesn't develop unless you were around.
Speech what?
Speech. You can't develop speech if you don't hear it. So after a certain point, if language doesn't develop, if you're not around spoken language, you cannot develop language after a certain
correct
point. I'm not a child development specialist, but
yes, I know that from my personal experience and from school, from speech and hearing. Yeah, so therefore, what do you say?
So you can't make tongues without tongues, but you can't make speech without speech.
Very nice. So when we form other people's neshamas with our speech, also you're saying that's also how the Mishnah fits in, which is what I think the Mechaber means. I have to close all these. Sorry. So, no, I didn't mean this Sefer, yeah, I meant these, but you could close it. This will come from the soul and awaken and reveal, and that the spirit of the first tongues were made with tongues. So in other words, if you want to access somebody else's neshama and you want to light their lave, you have to use your life. And who teaches us that? The ultimate Malame Torah La'ama Yisrael of Salvation says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the teacher. He used his heart, so to speak, to awaken the flame within Moshe. Moshe took that passion and awakened the flame of Israel. The first tongues were made with tongues. As we speak, that's what will come out of the fire. Every person must discover his own gentleness and awaken his soul through it. Okay, we're two sentences. This is a general outline. With Hashem's help, we will try to elaborate until each person understands and every soul will come to recognize its creator, Be'ezras Hashem. Are there any other questions or comments? Yeah, I'm giving everyone homework. We just have to think about the Kfuras Hashem Moshe. Yes.
Oh, and then, I'm sorry, tonight, a flame, Hashem appeared to Moshe in the form of a fire. You can pass that flame and that torch, and just the way that Hashem ignited Moshe, which is fire in Israel, it's the same thing, like a flame, it really can pass along.
The lave, you're going back to the Shal Heves. H, the lave of the H, the flame, it's burning. So Kosh Baruch Hu is saying, like a torch, take my flame, so to speak, you Moshe, take it and ignite it for everybody else. Yes?
Okay,
I need to see you.
Wait, yet stop. Is going to bless. he wants to bless Asa, but he says, go, you know, sharpen your tools. Sharpen your tools, he says, take your tools and bekashtecha, this word, your...
Right.
Meaning your bow. Okay, and just the association with Toldos is Hakol Kol Yaakov Yedaini De Esav. So here, Esav in the Pasuk is associated with this Keshes.
By Esav. By Yaakov or by Esav?
Esav and Yaakov. When Yitzhak thinks he blessed Yitzhak, he thinks he's blessing Esav, or that he will bless. He thinks that Yaakov is
Esav.
And he says, call Yaakov. So you have the, you know, again, the voice and the bow coming together in the same place.
So you're saying that he's taking the Keshavs and transferring it to Yaakov by saying Hakol Kol Yaakov. That bow becomes a power of Yaakov?
Well, with Esav, it's a weapon. The Keshavs is a weapon.
What pasuk is it?
The first one is Gimel.
You're in Toldos?
Yeah.
Here, I got it. It's 27:2. Perchov Zayin Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Gimel. Vatana, sana chelcha, take your, sharpen your implements, your sword, talyucha, no, your implements, your sword and your bow. Your implements, your sword and your bow. And go hunt for me, trappings. What's interesting is that he liked Esav. So he's... What's also interesting is that Esav would trap his father with huntings of the mouth. When it says that Yitzchak, if anyone needs to leave, I understand that Mamish not insulted at all. And you're not being rude. He would trap his father with trappings of the mouth. So what are you trying to say? The Keshes, perhaps, when he says, Hakol Kol Yaakov, Yitzchak is transferring that power to Yaakov Avinu?
Yes.
Okay. It's an interesting pshat. Anything else?
Well, when Esav comes with his bow, Yaakov uses his kol. We daven when Esav comes with us to attack us.
So therefore,
Moshe did not make it to Eretz Yisrael because he hit the rock, right?
Wait,
but not speaking to it. And so he ends up being buried, not in Eretz Yisrael, because of his...
Chastei Hashem Olam Hashira. Moshe does not go into Eretz Yisrael, Yanesh Arlan, Mantem Bilak Lisheni Le'enei B'nei Yisrael, because you do not believe in me to make a Kiddush Hashem before eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you're not going in. But it's even better. Because according to the Rambam Maimonides, his sin was not that he hit the rock. That's not his sin. According to the Rambam, what was the sin? Shimum na hamorim. Oh my gosh. Thank you. That he... I'm so happy. He lost his temper, which fits him perfectly. That speech was a manifestation of his intellect and guf and not his neshama. And therefore, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Kvurasa Shel Moshe is dependent on Moshe's speech and has created Erev Shabbos Finish Rashos.
Wow.
Okay, and we got to the tongues. Be'ezras Hashem, we will continue next week. And we finish the chapter. Chastei Hashem Olam Ashira. Thank you all for learning with us.
Wait, so what's the plural of Nisayon?